I'm really sorry. I fell asleep at 2 o'clock p.m. I was so exhausted, I didn't think about putting an alarm clock because I never met even thought that I'll sleep so much. So I'm at least I have a proof I was exhausted. So I'll speak. I'll make it short. I'll try to concentrate. And if you will want to stay here, so it's all right. So I'm here. I'm not tired anymore. But I'll start short, and then we'll expand if you'll be interested. I'll start first of all with something that I'm not sure that everybody is aware about the character of the Torah, if I'll say such a thing. And that is that whenever something, a mitzvah in the Torah appears, except one case, every time there is a contradiction. The Torah is full of contradictions. 99% of the mitzvahs in the Torah, if they appear one more than once, then there is a contradiction. The only case where a mitzvah appears three times exactly the same is Lo teva shel gdi b'chalev imo. Three times, exactly the same. But otherwise, ever, you can find only contradictions. And a good example is Shemitah. When we read in Parashat Mishpatim about Shemitah, we read one pasuk, the following. V'hashvi'it, in the seventh year, tishmetena unetashta, you must abandoned, you must leave your fields and ignore the fact that you have even those fields. The achlu evyonei amecha, the fruit, the vegetable, especially the fruit, will be the address of the fruit is the poor people. The achlu evyonei amecha, evyon is someone that is poor. The yitram, and what will be left over, tochal chayat asadeh, the animals will eat. Now, if we'll analyze this pasuk, we'll see that there are two things there. First of all, Shemitah is connected with social mitzvahs. It's exactly the same of pe'ah, leket, shichecha, where the idea of the Torah is that you, if you have, you must share it with someone else. You was blessed by Hashem to have your land and to have your trees and fruit, but you can't take everything for yourself. You must give a part to poor people in order to fulfill your mission in the world, to make it a world of charity, of justice, etc. So these are the mitzvah. This is a mitzvah, Shemitah, that is connected, as I said, with charity and with mitzvot akliyot ba'aretz, like pe'ah, leket, shichecha, etc. But when we read in Vayikra, about Shemitah, we read completely different words. Uvashana Shvit, in the seventh year, Shnat Shabbaton Yela'aretz, sabbatical. These are the words. And because it's a sabbatical, Sadcha lo tizra, v'charmecha lo tizmor, you're not allowed to work in your land. And what will you do with the fruit? V'hayta Shabbat Ha'aretz, lachem le'ochla. The sabbatical, the fruit in this year, will be for you. And the Torah is gone down to details. Lecha, le'avdecha, le'amatecha, u'leschircha, etc. No poor people. It's for you. And there are two contradictions, as I said. First of all, what is the concept of mitzvah? According to Parashat Mishpatim, the concept of the mitzvah is charity. And according to Parashat Behav, the concept is Shabbos, the idea of the seventh day is all over. Seventh day is Shabbat, the end of the seventh week is Shavuot, the seventh month is Tishrei, the seventh year is Shemitah, and the end of the seventh Shemitah is Yovel. And the idea is that seven is the holy number, at least of the calendar. And therefore, Shemitah is part of this idea. And the word is Shabbat. But maybe you could have said, okay, there are two concepts. What happened? Also, Shabbos has two concepts. But the problem is that the contradiction is what to do with the fruit. Because we read on Mishpatim, Ve'achlu evyonei amecha, you must give everything to the poor people. We read in our, now in Parashat Behar, Ve'aita shabbat ha'aretz lachem le'ochla, you should eat it. These are holy fruit, they are special fruit, there are all kinds of mitzvahs towards those fruit, you are not allowed to export them, you are not allowed to sell them, you are not allowed to waste them, all kinds of mitzvahs I'll mention later. So, it's yours. So what to do with the fruit? You can't give it to the poor people and you can't eat it at the same time. And this is a great contradiction. As I said before, almost most of the mitzvahs have this kind of contradictions. And this was the first work of Midrashi Halacha. Years ago, thousands of years ago, Moshe Rabbeinu started teaching the Torah, some of the things he learned in Mount Sinai, how to solve this contradiction. And you must, first of all, give an answer what to do, but you should give an answer why is the Torah, why is it written this way? What is the idea of being writing the Torah with a lot of contradictions? So I thought of speaking about that a little bit. I'll do it in the end when I will accomplish or will fulfill my obligations towards Shemitah. Okay, so this contradiction has a lot of effects also today. And that is because there is a contradiction trying to apply Shemitah in our years, and I'll try to explain the big debate today in Israel, struggling, and as you know, when Yehudim have a good thing to disagree about it, so they do it very well. Let's say there is a solution, what to do with the fruit. So we could have expect that today we'll be obligated and we'll be observe the Shemitah and fulfill everything. And that means for two groups. The first groups are the farmers, that they will not work, will not be in their fields, will open their gates, will let everyone to go in, and they'll be able to, and the poor people will have what to eat. And what will they eat by themselves? The rich people, the people that are the farmers, they own the field. They'll eat, the Torah says, that they'll be blessed on the sixth year. And you can take grapes and make raisins off of them. You can take chita and make bread out of it, and etc. So they'll be able to eat things. And vegetables and fresh vegetables they will not have because nobody will grow them. Fresh fruit there is, because even if you don't work in the field, there is a little bit fruit on the trees. But as I said, first of all, we have to decide who will eat it, because the poor people, we have to ask the poor people or the owners. That's from the farmers. From the customers, from we in our kitchen, as I said, there's no fruit and vegetables in Israel, if the Shemitah would have been completely fulfilled. And then there are a few options, or to be hungry. And I told the kids this morning, there is Yosefus is telling it's a very interesting story. You know, when the Romans occupied Eretz Israel, they didn't have what to eat, because they didn't have trucks or jet planes to bring things from Rome. And the system was, in those times, that you eat, where you take the food from the citizens, from the residents of the country where you occupied. And they came in on the Shemitah, and they had to leave, because they didn't have anything to eat. Everybody was starving, the Jews, the Yudim, and they withdrew, because no food. And another Midrash says, and that's really, you know, amazing, The Midrash describes a show that the Romans were playing on the platform, on the stage, where two camels are searching for food, and are eating grass or less than the grass. And the owners asks the camels, "What are you eating?" So he said, "The Jews, the Yudim, ate all the grass, so I don't have anything else to eat. So I'm eating ground or whatever, seeds, because there's nothing there." This could have been the option of Shemitah. You know, today with frozen things and all kinds of things, then probably we wouldn't have been hungry, but this is one option. The second option is to import to Israel fruit and vegetables from the whole world. We must notify the idea or bring it to our knowledge that Mishmita is mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. It is connected only to Eretz Yisrael. It's part of the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, fruit and vegetables all over the world doesn't have any meaning regarding mitzvahs and regarding holiness. So therefore, there's no problem of import. And this could be the solution once in seventh year. And then everybody will be able to keep Shemitah, except the farmers. The farmers will collapse, and I'll speak about it soon. Why not? What did raise the question, the disagreement, the debate? Why didn't we come, all of the rabbis and all of the congregations, didn't come to a conclusion that this is the way to keep Shemitah and to do according to what's written? I'm saying again that we have first of all to decide, no, not we, the Chachamim had to decide what to do with Shemitah, what to do with the fruit, but once there was a decision in Midrash Halacha and the Rambam, so therefore it's not our, we don't have to bother with this question, but this could have been the best way to do. There are two reasons why not. The first reason is responsibility towards Jewish agriculture. The meaning of keeping Shemitah this way means that in two decades or even less, there will be no Jewish agriculture in Israel. The process is very simple. The slippery slope is very simple. The farmers will not be able to work that way. You can't go out of business once in seventh year. You can decide you want to be hungry, but you can't decide you want to be poor, and more than that, you can't export. No market all over Europe will wait for you once in seventh year that you are out of business, you are not exporting. And I wanted to say slowly, slowly, but it will be fast, fast. The Arabs will buy every open land. You know that even today, to be a farmer is not a big deal. So Israel will lose the identity, and I'm calling it an identity. I think it's part of the Israel identity as a kind of agriculture society that has even connection with the fruit and the vegetables of Eretz Israel. It's not only the commercial point of view and the financial point of view, it's the identity as Israel, and will be we'll work only in high tech and all those things without any connections to the Holy Land. And it's not, 100 years ago it was a question of existence. I don't think that today it's a question of existence, because Israel will exist even if there will be no Jewish agriculture. Today in the system, the international, the small global world, small global village is not a problem of existence, but it is a problem and an issue of identity, connection to the land, and that's the first problem. The second one is, the third is smaller, but there are also problems. The second thing is that all the farmers will collapse. That means that the 2%, approximately, I think it's less, of people that work in agriculture will be, and their kibbutzim and the moshavim, all those ways of living, they'll have to leave it. As I said before, there is a solution. The government can pay it, the people can decide to donate or to all over the seventh year money in order to keep them alive, but that's a problem in Israel. And the third thing, what appeared this year is something that is, you know, unbelievable, and that is that the price of the products that are import or Shemitah, according to Tzar Beit Din, I'll explain it soon, are much more expensive than the regular price, that means that you're doing something upside down. Because instead, you know, most of the Haredi people are poor people. They decided to be poor people. They decided to contribute their life to different things than money. And they don't have. And Bnei Brak and Jerusalem, as you know, are the poorest towns in Israel. Okay, that's legitimate if this is a decision. But the meaning is that they must pay today for a tomato, I think, triple price when you compare it to regular tomatoes or regular years. And that's, don't forget what we started in the beginning. The Achlu of Yonei Amecha. You know, it's the opposite of the idea, one of the two ideas of Shemitah. And that's a real problem today in Israel. And it will not be better because there's no way to supply fruit and vegetables if you don't grow them. And if someone else grows them, you pay more. I wanted to say before that there's another meaning of importing or buying only from Arabs, and that is to miss the opportunity to eat perot Shemitah, Shemitah fruit. I said before, they are holy fruits. There's something special. Once in seven years, they have special mitzvot, and your attitude towards them should be very special. So therefore, you're missing the opportunity to keep this mitzvah. You're doing everything instead of keeping this mitzvah by importing or by buying only from Arabs, etc. So what are the solutions? Today in Israel, there's a debate between four options. Every one of them has an advantage or some advantages. Obviously, they have disadvantages. And I said to the kids, I'm so bothered by the fact that kashrut, kosher food and Shemitah should have devoted our knowledge towards distinguishing between Am Yisrael and the Goyim. We read it in the Torah. When we read about kashrut, the Torah explains that the main idea of kashrut is your food is different than Goyim. Today in Israel, the kashrut is separating all the observance. You know, it's mavdil ben Yehudi li-Yehudi, not ben Yehudi le-Goy. And the best example is, you know, there are a lot of simchas. Our son got married 2 weeks ago, and I really didn't know what to do in the wedding, what to serve. And I had to serve four different sources of vegetables in order that everybody will be satisfied. So it's amazing. And I want to, first of all, to explain what are the options. I'll do it briefly. What are the advantages and what are the disadvantages? As I said before, the first option is not to use perot and yirakot of Shemitah at all, and not to eat perot and yirakot at all. And this is a theoretic option because, first of all, I can't see anybody that is doing it. And second, it will not solve the problem of the farmers. It will solve the problem of my private kitchen, because I will decide I'm not eating, not fruit and not vegetables and whatever. But the farmers will collapse, and as I said, the character and the identity of Israel will collapse as a state that is connected, or society that is connected to the land. You can't be connected to the land in Tel Aviv. Okay, you can't do it. You can do it only when you grow, when you have agriculture. So therefore, this is a problematic option, and as far as I know, nobody is going in this way. So let's count another option. Another option is to decide that it's a version of the first one. We will eat fruit and vegetables, but import, or let's say that not from Eretz Israel. No way. Where can you have fruit and vegetables not from Eretz Israel? You can have it from three sources. The first one is importing. That's the easiest. The second way is that there are regions in Eretz Israel, areas in Eretz Israel, where Shemitah doesn't, you're not obligated to keep Shemitah there, because according to Halacha, the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are being changed regarding what mitzvah are you dealing with. There are at least 10 kinds of boundaries, of borders, for all kinds of mitzvahs. And for mitzvot akriyot ba'aretz, Shemitah doesn't, you're not obligated to keep Shemitah in the very far northern part of Israel and also the southern part of Israel, towards Eilat or towards the north part of the Golan Heights. So therefore, let's grow there, and we'll eat only vegetables from the southern part and fruit from the northern part. That's the second way. The third way to go in the system is there are all kinds of growing techniques of agriculture, water plants, and all kinds of those things. And there is a way to grow a little bit vegetables and fruit in this way. The advantages, as I said before, are very clear. We are eating with fruit and vegetables without. We don't have any problems. Don't have any problems. And because they're not connected to Eretz Yisrael, they're not Shemitah, they're not, so no problems. The disadvantages are almost the same, but I think there's something more. One thing, as I said before, that means that Israel is out of the game of being the identity of agriculture, because only the very, very far areas will be able to grow. Agriculture will mean import. And all the fields, the mainstream of the fields and the farmers and whatever, will collapse. But I think, and that is already an ideology, a halachic ideology way of thinking, I think, and my colleagues think, the following. Any solution that must assume that, thank God, there are a lot of secular people in Israel, is not capable. And I'll explain. The solution of importing or growing only far away, there's not enough. That means you are very happy that most of the people in Israel are not, that they don't want to keep Shemitah. And therefore, your responsibility is only for your family, your group, you know, your shtetl. So therefore, you can use the system, and even the third one I'll speak soon. But this is not a legitimate way of halachic thinking. You must think about everything you do in Israel. You must think the following as a poisek halacha. Let's say tomorrow morning everybody is religious. Everybody is observant. Can it work? Can this option apply? If the answer is no, so according to my opinion, what you're saying, even for your small family, is not legitimate. So therefore, if you say, okay, if tomorrow morning everybody will be religious, everybody will be observant, we'll be able to import, to use the northern side, these techniques, okay, that's legitimate. I think it's wrong, but it's legitimate. It's wrong because you are destroying the agriculture of Israel, the Jewish agriculture in Israel. But at least it's legitimate. You can say, okay, that's the way. But if your idea doesn't have any way that everybody can be observant, I think, as I said, that's my halachic ideology, it's not legitimate. I'm not talking only about Shemitah. I'm talking about, let's say, Shabbos. If you will paskin that the policeman can't work on Shabbos, okay, that's not legitimate. Not because it's awful to close the police in front of religious people. It's because you know that if everybody would have been religious or will be in mitzvah and will be observant, you will force people to work in the police. Okay, so you'll do it in a different way, in a different concept. So if it's a question of a concept, okay, I can understand that. But if you don't have a solution, a halachic idea for the entire Klal Yisrael, it's not legitimate. Okay, so this is the second option. The third option is what we call Otzar Bedin. Otzar Bedin is a very difficult and very complicated system to distribute holy fruit, Shemitah fruit, real Shemitah fruit. And I'll explain. There are a few sources. There's a big debate if there are enough in the tradition that you are able and you are permitted to create a system to distribute the fruit of Shemitah. And that means that the process is the following. The farmers say, it's not ours, Shemitah, we're out of the game. We, as representative of the society, are coming to the farmers and are telling them the following. We will come in your fields, we'll take the fruit, according to the Torah, we'll distribute the fruit all over, but because I'm a rabbi and I don't know how to do it, I'll hire you to do it. You'll get a salary from me. It doesn't depend if there'll be a lot of fruit, less fruit. I'm not buying the fruit from you. I'm hiring you to collect it, to pack it, to distribute it, to give it to other people all over the country. And, No. We're talking about fruit. I emphasize fruit. Fruit. Vegetables, it's not a solution. Only a little bit. Especially about fruit, I'm speaking. Okay? And we'll distribute it, and you'll be hired by us. We'll pay you a salary that is not connected to the amount and to the price and to the... So, therefore, it will be really that you are our... you're working for us. And the big advantage of this system will be that this is the only option where people will eat the special fruit of Shemitah. According to the Ramban, counts as a mitzvah to eat Shemitah fruit. I'll use the term holy fruit, and this is the opportunity to have it, and it's the only option where all the society will be able to eat it. And this is the real big advantage. What are the disadvantages of this system? There are a few. First of all, there's not enough. Because if you don't grow, if you don't work, if you don't cultivate, so there are much less fruit. This is that's first of all. Second of all, I forgot one thing, excuse me. And the money from where? Who will support it? The idea is that people that will come to the market will not buy them, it's not selling them, but they will be partners, or they will help, or they will pay for distributing the fruit. Not for growing it, but for distributing it. And they'll pay us as Shliach Beit Din. They'll pay the rabbis the money, as if, we will not touch a penny, as if they're paying us, and we'll deliver the money to the salaries of those farmers. So what are the big advantage, as I said, this is the way, okay, to eat holy fruit. What are the disadvantages? There are a few. The first one, I said, I'll count it in a different way. The first one is that many poskim say that it's not legitimate. It's not legitimate. The idea of Otzar Beidin doesn't have enough sources in order to be a real way to attitude towards Shemitah. The second thing is that, as I said before, somehow the prices of the fruit and vegetables in the market and the quality is awful. The prices are very high. Somehow, I don't know exactly to explain why, and the quality, because they are not being cultivated, is very low. So therefore, or the people don't want it, or what's worse, that the people that want it can't afford it, and what's worse than that, they do afford it, okay? They do buy it, and it's a great problem, as I said before, for young couples, for Haredim family, big families, etc. The third thing is that these fruit and vegetables, as I said before, especially fruit, have special halachot. When you buy them, first of all, you're not allowed to buy them. You're not allowed to export otzar bedin. And so the problem of the agriculture collapsing is a problematic issue. You must use everything till the end. And the Apu scheme, I think they are wrong, but the Apu scheme that say when you take a cucumber and you peel it, so you must keep what is left over until, in a special place, in a house, until it's not, you can't eat it anymore, and only then you can throw it. So every cucumber, every potato, every carrot, you want to make soup for tomorrow night, and chicken soup with carrots. So you must eat every drop of the soup. You can't throw anything because it's meat. So it's too many people say, why to bother? I think they're wrong, but they say, why to bother? And a few rabbis even say, you know what? Because there are a lot of problems of eating Shemitah, so maybe we should avoid and we should stop it. Because we want to do one good thing, and that is to give people to be able to eat holy fruit, but we are damaging all the mitzvahs that are connected with this mitzvah because most of the people don't know what to do or will not do it. So therefore, let's say, maybe it's the best thing is to ignore this way, and many of the Haredim rabbi claim that we should, you know, close this track because those problems. So this is the third option. The fourth option is what we call Heter Mechira. Heter Mechira was established approximately 120 years ago in a different situation. Those were the first days of settling in the land of Israel, coming back from the diaspora and creating the first Moshavim, the first farmers, and for them, keeping Shemitah meant not out of business, out of life. Okay? And and because of that, many Rabbanim, very famous Rabbanim, high-level Rabbanim, said that you can do towards Shemitah the same thing as we do before Pesach. After we try to clean our houses and etc., then we are going and we usually sell as if our house to a goy, and it's not ours. So according to Chametz, the halachas of Chametz, everybody knows that if it's not yours, you're not obligated to throw it or to burn it. And the same idea is the Heter Mechira. Let's sell the ground, the land of Eretz Israel in an effective way to a goy, and then we'll sit on land, we'll work in the land that is not a Jewish land, therefore you're not obligated to keep Shemitah, to observe the Shemitah mitzvot towards the fruit and the vegetables that are being grown in this land, and you can use it and eat it in a regular way. Again, it's very easy for you to understand what are the advantages and what are the disadvantages. The advantages are that there's no problem. And it's not like importing, because there are no problem for the customers. There are no problems for our private kitchen, because the fruit and vegetables are the same. Like we use them all over the six years, so we are using them in the seventh year. But there's also no problems, and that's the big advantages towards the farmers, because the farmers are growing not exactly the same, but they can grow. There are also halachot after you sell the ground, but I will not go down to those details. But they have a way to make their living, to continue to grow, to sell, to distribute, to earn. And therefore, that's the big, big, big advantage. And it's also the advantage towards the entire state of Israel. As I said before, the identity and the fact that there will be Jewish agriculture, exporting, and all the things that are connected with this. What are the disadvantages? It's very easy to understand. The disadvantages are two. First of all, some of the rabbis say it's not, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed. It's not working, according to halacha, to do such a thing, because you can't sell, because the selling is a trick, because this and because that. There's a lot of disagreements about the selling from the beginning. 120 years ago, there were rabbis that rejected this solution. But also, many rabbis that, if they say that if 120 years ago, we would have supported. But today, the situation is completely different. It's not a question of existence. It's a question of character, of identity, of what we spoke before. But it's not a question of existence. Therefore, you're not permitted anymore to use this trick. I'll say more than that. The situation is becoming different because the majority of Am Yisrael is maybe today in Israel. And according to Halacha, the rules are completely different if Rov Yoshvei Aleha, if the majority of the Jewish nation is in the land of Israel. We didn't have it yet. And maybe these are bad news because it's not only a result of immigration, of Aliyah, it's also of assimilation and leaving the Jewish nation. But once there will be the majority will be in the land of Israel, it will make maybe impossible, but at least very difficult to use this solution. But the disadvantages are very clear. First of all, there's no Shemitah, no meaning to Shemitah, not for the farmers, not for the customers. No one will know what Shemitah all about. Once in seventh year, the farmer will sign on a contract that he's willing to sell his land to a goy. The rabbi will do it, and that's all. And importing, exporting, growing, marketing, everything will be exactly the same. And we are also missing the opportunity to attitude towards to eat holy fruit and vegetables. So that's a very problematic issue. And as I said before, today in Israel there are at least these four options, and it's distinguishing between people. I'm going back to our simcha. The end of the day we didn't do it, but if I really want it that every guest will be able to eat whatever he wants. So my guests, most of them, prefer heter mechira, as I said before. But the bright side, some of them are very charedi. They will eat only fruit and vegetables that are imported from the Arabs. But my son's father-in-law was murdered by Arabs 12 years ago on his way home. So her family will not a cucumber that a Arab touched it, they will not use it. So therefore, they will not use heter mechira, they will not use Arab, they will use only a kedushat shvi'it. But to make a wedding with kedushat shvi'it, all of you, when you come to the wedding, you eat everything that is on the plate without leaving anything. You understand the problem? So what to do? And if so, I'll say, thank God I'm not Haredi. But only as a joke I'm saying it. Because if I was a Haredi person, you know there are four different kashriyot of meat. So therefore, I would have, if I want to cook meat and vegetables, it's a good math lesson. How many options should I use? And it's four, it's 16. You know, Shemitah this way with meet this way, or this way, or this way, or this way. Shemitah, and that is the situation today. I'm not laughing. I remember two Shemitahs ago, we had a neighbor that had a bar mitzvah on Shemitah, and he has a very complicated family. And we came in on Friday to bring a cake. And he was so confused. He asked me, please look in my refrigerator. And you could see shelves. This kind of Shemitah, and this kind of Hechsher, and this kind, and his wife cooked everything at least four or five times in a different kashriyot, and that's disgusting. That's really disgusting, as I said before. The problem is, and now Okay, you are the Beis Din. What to do? What to do? I'm talking what to do in my yeshiva. I can, personally, let's say in my kitchen I'll do A. But what to do in my yeshiva? If the idea will be, and I'll explain the problem, if the idea will be give everyone whatever he wants, that's a good solution. But it has two problems. First of all, it's, you know, all my efforts, all my day, I will have to try to arrange the kitchen according to everyone's wish. And don't think there's not only four options. I spoke, you know, I analyzed and I interpreted the idea that there are four options, but there are much more, you know, all kinds of versions. But let's say there are four. But and it's also a question of money, of budget. It's a finance. Instead of buying 10 kilos of tomatoes, I'll have to buy two here and two there and two whatever. You know, that's a problematic issue. But it's not only the question of how to do it, how to work it out. The question is also ideology. Is this the way? Is really the way is everybody will do whatever he wants? This is halacha? Maybe. And more than that, I'm against buying from Arabs. I'm not saying there are four options and everybody will choose. I think that people that buy today vegetables and later fruit from the Gaza Strip or from Yehuda Bishomon are supporting terror. So according to halacha, I'm not talking politics. According to halacha, it's a great question. And this is there's a lot of tension between us and the Haredim. Because we claim they are not behaving according to Allah. I'm not talking about policy. Of buying from the Gaza Strip, supporting terror. And the reason or the target is not to bother with Shvi'it. But you are not bothering with Shvi'it, you are bothering with Lo Tirzach. So therefore I'm against bringing to my yeshiva fruit that are from that is from Arabs. Let's say I'll buy everything from import from Europe. So the price, it's a really controversial issue. And the question is what to do. And the truth is it's not a question what to do because nobody asks us. You know, every group will ask their rabbis and we didn't get together and we didn't, I'm talking in the Zionist religious movement. Let's for a second put the Haredim out of the game. But also in the Zionist religious movement, we didn't succeed to counter agreement. Today there are two, and if I'll ask what most of the people do in Israel, because, and that I told Rabbi Mitenkin this morning, usually when there is a disagreement, the result is that keeping Shemitah is collapsing. Usually when rabbis get together, and they have one policy and they say, this is the way and there's no other way, there is an increasing of keeping the mitzvah when the audience and the society see that they are united and they are positive, sure, this is the way to do things. People understand it's serious. Usually machloket, even though it comes from good sources, and even though we really, everybody thinks different, what can you do? But the price of machloket is tremendous, is crucial. The price of machloket means that people keep less. Because they say, first of all, you rabbis come to an agreement, then come to us. Don't start. And this is a great, great problem today in Israel. And the truth is, I think if I'm describing the Zionist religious movement, I will say the following. I think that three parts. The majority doesn't bother with, they buy and sell, they buy as they did before, and they even don't know it's Shemitah, and they know, but it doesn't have any effect because they don't know, there's no united idea what to do, so therefore they do whatever they want. Maybe, I'm not sure it's the majority, it's a big group. The second group, the biggest group, is using Heter Mechira. As I said before, it's a controversial issue, it's not simple, but out of these four options that we mentioned before, they're using Heter Mechira, and the idea of Heter Mechira has been supported especially by the kibbutzim and the moshavim, the religious kibbutzim and moshavim, that are trying to keep Shemitah as much as they can, but they can't do it without using in various issues the heter mechira. The third group, the smallest group in the Tzionut Datit, in the Zionist religious movement, is trying to eat as much as they can perot of Kedushat Shvi'it. That means use the system, what I explained very shortly, of Otsar Beit Din, distributing the holy fruit by the Beis Din, by the rabbis, and they have the opportunity, you can come into kitchens at home and see there's a special place where under the refrigerator there's a list. Today I brought carrots and this and there from Kedushat Shvi'it. Therefore, every child should know he should eat everything. That's a good thing. You know, you don't have to call the policeman to force him to finish the plate. But you can do it. He must finish everything. If there are leftovers, don't throw it to the garbage. Put it in a special place until it will be. You couldn't do with it anything else, and then you are permitted to throw it to the garbage, etc. This is the situation today. And I can assume that in the next Shemitah, I'll be able to stand here and say exactly the same words. I can't see nothing that is gonna change, except if more and more rabbis will say that if the majority of the Am Yisrael are living in Israel, the Shemitah, the Heter Mechira, is much more problematic, then I really don't know what we'll do then. But this is the situation. Two words about politics. Something was completely different. I'm talking about rabbinical politics. I'm not talking about holy politics. I'm talking about another. What happened in Israel this year? What was different? It's not the first time there's Shemitah in Israel. But all over the years, the idea was of the chief rabbanut, was that we are responsible that everybody will have a solution. As I said before, we are organizing the wedding. That means if the Haredi group that want to import will convince the Minister of Agriculture to give them the license in order to import fruits and vegetables. We will organize the Heter Mechira for the farmers, for the Zionist religious movement, for the entire Am Israel that will use the Heter Mechira, and we'll come to an agreement, we'll come to a kind of agreements with all kinds of other supporters of Shemitah or other sources of fruit and vegetables, the Arabs, and etc. This time, the chief rabbanut changed her policy. And they said, we are not organizing Heter Mechira. That's in the first place. And we are, I'll say it first of all, I'll summarize, I'll say the title. The title is, we're not enforcing, but we are giving local rabbanut to force people to accept the Haredi way of keeping Shemitah. And the rabbanut said the following, we are not organizing Heter Mechira. If someone wants to organize, we will not stop him. They asked Tnuva. Tnuva is a very big commercial of distributing, of distributing fruit and vegetables and agricultural products. So they organized, their rabbi, Rav Weitman, will organize the Heter Mechira, and he'll do it as a representative of us. We are not doing that. Okay, we had it years ago, but it's not acceptable, but it works. But this year they did something else. And that is, we are not forcing any local rabbi to accept Heter Mechira. And we are given the permission to a local rabbi to decide if he wants that in his town there will be no Heter Mechira because he rejects the idea. He is permitted to say no Heter Mechira in my town. And every restaurant, hotel, or even store that will sell Heter Mechira, the rabbi is allowed to disqualify his kashrut and to take the kashrut out of it. That means enforcing the Haredi way of thinking and pasking about Shemitah. This made a lot of noise in Israel. It really bothered us. Because the idea that everybody will do whatever he wants is capable. As I said before, I think it's wrong. I think Rabbanut should be Paskin. And a chief Rabbanut, it was elected to pass, to bring a Pask, a Psak. Okay, but let's say everybody will do whatever he wants. Okay, legitimate. But trying, or at least giving the opportunity, the ability, to force people not to use the term Mechira, but to buy from Arabs or import or whatever, that's not legitimate. And there were two things that were done in Israel. The minister, the agriculturists, the farmers, appealed to the High Supreme Court against the Rabbanut. And they said they did something that they are not allowed to do by law. I'm not talking by halacha. They're not permitted to do by law. And therefore, the Rabbanut, if they are a chief Rabbanut that is a governmental institute, they must find a solution for the entire Am Yisrael and not only for the Haredi group. And the Supreme Court accepted this appeal and said that the Rabbanut is forced to find a solution for people that want to use Heter Mechira. I'll tell you personally, I was against the idea. We didn't appeal to the Supreme Court. We decided as rabbis that we don't want the Supreme Court to get involved in halachic issues. Because once you are opening the door, then they're deep inside, and I don't think it's their job. And I don't want the Beinish or whatever, who is the Supreme Judge, court judge, to deal with halacha. We, Rabbanei Tzohar, the Tzohar rabbis, did something else. We said that we'll give kashrut to the hotels or to the restaurants or the stores. We'll use our mashgichim, we'll use our rabbis, and we'll give the kashrut, and we started to give to that kashrut. And it's also a big problematic thing because it's privation, provocation of the kashrut in Israel. And privatization of the kashrut in Israel, and it will not stop in Shemitah, because then other private groups will start giving Shemitah, and that's a great jungle. Okay, so it's a big problem. But we decided that we can't do it. We can't abandon our responsibility towards the farmers. We can't agree that the way of Heter Mechira will be disrecognized by the Haredim at all, trying to force people not to use it. And we started, and the pressure from the Supreme Court and from all kinds of hotels and restaurants that told the Rabbanut, okay, we have Rabbanei Tzohar, we don't need you anymore. So therefore, trying to warn us that if you'll put Heter Mechira in your stores, we will take you to that kashrut. Your kashrut didn't work. So therefore, the Rabbanut was forced from two sides to change the policy. And today, the policy of the Rabbanut is this. Okay, this is the policy. So the Rabbanut decided not to do anything. One thing they did, and they said that every local rabbi that doesn't want or thinks that according to halacha he's not permitted to bring Heter Mechira in his town must nominate another rabbi that will give kashrut to stores that do it. And this is the, you know, you think about it, it doesn't make any sense, but this is today the situation. The Rabbanut nominated four rabbis for four different areas in Israel, north, south, center, and somewhere, that they will give to that kashrut, to stores, restaurants, hotels, that are selling Heter Mechira, and the local rabbi will be out of the game, and this is today the situation in Israel. I'll say that I'm very bothered about many of the things I said, but I was honest. Okay, and I said everything I think about the disadvantages, the advantages. There's no good way to attitude towards Shemitah today. And I'm bothered especially by the fact that the kashrut is distinguishing between observant people. And it's everywhere in the world today. And instead of emphasizing the point, Lahavdil ben Yisrael la'amim, this is, kashrut is distinguishing between Yehudi and Yehudi. Many of us don't eat in this and there and whatever, and especially in ultra-Orthodox groups. And the result is that the idea, I'm coming back to where we started, the idea of the Torah, that Shemitah will be sabbatical, that Shemitah will be a year of charity towards the poor people, is completely... I think you will realize that we didn't speak about it for half an hour already. We didn't, you know, we're so bothered. What system will we eat the fruit and the vegetables? And the situation is, and the result is, that we don't think even about the real idea of Shemitah, and the real applying the Shemitah. And this is the tragic thing. The only thing I want to say is, and I said it also to the kids this morning, after all, I think we should ben shechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu l'zman hazeh, and that is because these are our problems. 200 years ago, those weren't our problems, and also 65 years ago. And the fact that these are our problems, thank God that we are disagreeing about how to keep Shemitah when we came back to Eretz Yisrael. Thank you very much.
We'll take a few questions.
First of all, I'm assuming there was no bracha in the sixth year sufficient because you didn't mention it.
So. Yes.
Okay. I heard that Rav Avadia Yosef performed a sale on behalf of all the farmers, Zaki Lodim Shlokabana. Are you? Is that correct? And are you? Did you approve of that?
No. First of all, Rav Avadia Yosef, and that's very important for us, supports Heter Mechira. Rav Avadia Yosef feels many times. His psakim are connected with Klal Yisrael. We really see it. Because he was the chief rabbi, and because many of his ma'aminim are masorti, are not religious. 40% of the Mizrahi people in Israel are masorti. So therefore, he has the responsibility. What exactly did he say? And if he said that you can do, be moicher according to Zachin Ladam Shelo Bafanav, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But he did announce that he's supporting the Heter Mechira.
Rabbi Azel said that Heter Mechira is permissible, but he also gave a caveat for Bakurei Yeshiva that they should be machmir just for themselves, but for Ramcha,
that's right.
Because he says, you know, it goes according to the Pshat that it's the Rabbanan.
Sure, I'm emphasizing the point that once the majority of Am Yisrael will be in Eretz Yisrael, it will be much more problematic. But the idea, I didn't mention it, but all the base of Heter Mechira, I'll explain the last sentence, all the base of Heter Mechira today is because from the beginning, keeping Shemitah today is only a Derabanan, is not a Doraisa. So therefore, the ability to make all kinds of, I'll call it tricks, I don't know exactly what term to use, is capable. What fictions? Okay, it's better. And therefore the idea behind the Tamichara is easier when it's the Rabbanan. That's right. Yeah, but in Chametz, first of all, you clean the house. You're trying to take everything out. The truth is that if you did everything you're obligated and you didn't sell Chametz, and there was chametz at home, you didn't violate the bali ra'u bali matzeh. The Ran says it on the first page of Sachim. So you do it as you're selling chametz for insurance. You're not selling chametz in order to solve the chametz problem. Okay, that's one. There's another difference.
The Americans sell the
chametz. Okay. So. Okay.
I saw an interview about the point you mentioned regarding the Haredim, that by buying from the Arabs, of course, that it's supporting terror. I read an interview where someone asked one of the Rabbanan there this question, and he responded that actually, in his opinion, he said it's going to lessen terror in that, and that there won't be an incentive that they won't be trying to, infiltrating and shooting rockets and doing everything because they don't want to now hurt the economy that they're going to be getting from buying the fruits from them.
Let's agree that rabbi should decide if that's right or not. Let's agree together to go to the chief of staff and ask him. Okay, it's not my professional, it's not his professional. If the chief of staff will say that he prefers that we'll support Arabs and buy fruit and vegetables from them because it's reducing terror, so I'm taking out this claim from my lecture. Okay? But it's not, I don't know how to say it in English, but we say it in Hebrew, they first threw the arrow and then throw the
target.
In the target, okay? I think, but I'm not sure.
Okay,
I'm not sure, but it's not, this is a question that the chief of staff should decide.
So a couple more questions because it is late, Danny.
All right. If you take that Klal Yisrael, the principle of Klal Yisrael is most important, in your dream, what would be the best solution?
In my dream, the best solution will be, first of all, that Shemitah will not be a problem, will be a challenge. That, first of all, to change that, to the disc, and to work on it for 7th year. For 7 years to work on it. And that is doing all the 7 years to find the financial way that the agriculture will be able to do something different on the 7th year without maybe organic growing, maybe all kinds of ways where they'll be able to earn money, to distribute perot b'kedushat shvi'it, and to come to agreements with the international market that once in 7th year we're not exporting. All kinds of this. The truth is that we don't have yet the way to do it, but I think we have a few steps where we can start. The wrong thing to do is to go to sleep next year, Shemitah is over, and to be awake, like I was late, and the 6th year. That's too late.
Rabbi Cantor?
Yeah, just a follow-up to that. Isn't the real problem here that the whole Shemitah issue was supposed to be, as you started with, that in the 6th year there'll be like a double amount, right? And then the idea of Shemitah can happen. Now the nace doesn't happen. We don't have the double portion in the 6th year. And now we have to jump through all these almost impossible choices. Even the dream, you don't have an exact answer. How would it happen? Find a way. There's no way to feed 6 million people in Shemitah year without that double crop. 120 years ago, it'd be farming. Maybe there is no way, and the question would be, why didn't it develop that? So if the promise isn't there, maybe the halakha doesn't have to be.
I want to emphasize 2 points. The first one is that out of the 1613 mitzvot, there's only one mitzvah that depends if an S will appear, and it's not Shemitah. It's not Shemitah. Shemitah is not, it doesn't depend. The Torah doesn't say that if you will not have double thing in Shemitah, producing in fruits and vegetables, you are free of keeping Shemitah in the 7th year. There's only one mitzvah that depends on Nes, the Ramban mentioned it, and that is Sotah. That's the only thing. So therefore, miracles in Halacha should stay, different. But I want to say, I said that it's today, even though we didn't have double fruit and that, it's not a question of existence. It's not. Israel can exist without doing anything this year. So therefore, I can respond and say that in Tanakh times, without doubling the products, there's no way to live. In our times, there is a way to live, so therefore I'm taking this thing out of the things that I'm considering.
Last question.
I got the impression from you that the Tzar Bet Din position is problematic at the end when you're discarding the food. You didn't agree with that? That the food should be deteriorated and then placed nicely away.
You
disagreed with that?
No, I disagree, but not. I'm not to the other I claimed 2 years ago, and I spoke with very high-level rabbis, and they admitted that what I'm saying is right, and Rav Eliyahu wrote it a few weeks ago again. And I claim that I'm talking now halacha, that you are not eating Shemitah fruit is a great mitzvah. You should do it. But one thing is that you are not obligated to be crazy. And being crazy means to use what the leftovers. I'll say it very briefly. You are allowed to use Shemitah and fruit in a very normal way. You don't have to be unnormal. You're not allowed to throw it by purpose. You're not allowed to destroy it when you don't want to eat it. But if there are leftovers, the way of the leftovers is directly to the garbage. And Rav Eliyahu wrote it a few weeks ago again, and he explained why is he writing it again. Because, as I said before, many people refuse to eat Otzar Bedin and Shemitah because they ask themselves, why to bother? It's crazy. We'll be full of averot all the time. And he said, there's no averot. There's a way, very regular, simple way to eat Shemitah, fruit and vegetables, holy Shemitah and vegetables. And people shouldn't act towards halacha as if halacha is trying to make people crazy. Okay? And we're not out of the mind. And he wrote it, and secretly. He wrote it on the Shabbos newspapers, as they call it, where in Shul, everybody read it in Shul, and people really, there was a change. So you understood exactly what I said.
That doesn't negate the fact that if you have Otzar Bedin wine, you shouldn't put the candle in.
That is, because using it in order that's something else. You're not, the Havdalah candle will be, you can do it with water and the Shemitah. That's definitely, yes, but.
You have no vegetables.
What?
Also, most of the year you have no vegetables.
No, vegetables, we spoke about ideology. The reality is that vegetables, most of the vegetables in Israel are in Arab hands, Israeli Arab hands, also all over the seventh year, because no Yehudi will work, picking up cucumbers. The main products that Jews work are the products that can work with big machines, like potatoes, carrots, and onions. Okay, these are the problems, potatoes, carrots, and onions. So therefore, to find, because you're eating all over the 6 years, cucumbers, tomatoes, etc., eggplants from Arabs, so there's no special problem in Shemitah. The only problem is these plants, and those you can do most of the work before Shemitah, and therefore there is a way to have also Shemitah, onions, etc. Okay, but it's more difficult. I don't want to. Okay.
Can I ask one last question?
I don't know. I'm here. I'm not tired, as you know. Yeah.
Let's say we're going to visit Israel this year,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to the hotels that are mm-hmm. normally called Mehatlin. What system will they use?
I don't know.
Will it be
probably.
Mix up of whoever the
no. Probably, I assume that hotels will decide the following. I don't want to bother. I don't want any problems. I'll buy from import or from Arabs. I probably. There will be a few places, like the hall where we had the wedding 2 weeks ago. I asked him to bring Hetar Mechira. He said, listen, I'm supporting Hetar Mechira. I think that's the way to do. But from commercial point of view, the best way for businessmen is not to bother. Okay, so probably this will be the solution, and I think it's awful, but this is the reality. I want to say finally two things. First of all, I'm again apologizing. I'm being late. I'm such a yeke. I was so disappointed, but I really was exhausted. Yesterday, I'll tell you the truth. Yesterday, I rented a car in the United States, in New York, and my GPS didn't work, and the first time I drove in New York with directions from the internet, I was lost. I didn't sleep all day and all night. So I'm really apologizing. And next time I'll be here, I'll be on time 10 minutes before Emir Tzashem. The second thing, don't forget my final words that Shechiano, that these are our problems. Thank you.
I want to thank Rabbi Shulo and everyone's patience.
Rav Shirlo is, of course, the Rosh Hashiva in Petach Tikva. He's also one of the founders of Rabbi Netzor, as we've been hearing, and he's also a major force in the thinking that we have before us today in the Tzionut HaDatit. Again, thank you all for being here, and thank him very much.